online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog the Podcast. It's the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll take away something that can help improve your company's bottom line. I'm Lon Keller, Senior Editor here at Sundog Studios. You're listening to episode number 17. It's story time, folks. And around the table today, we have Mr. John Lundball. He's an editor, photographer, producer, writer, and occasionally I've seen him wash a dish or two in the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
And also with us today is Derek, don't call him Crash, Brewer.
Great to be here.
Just so you know, Crash is a reference to his computer going down this week. So, and new to the crew this week is our senior creative and lead writer upstairs on sixth floor, Jody Heilman.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going?
Good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You used to be on radio as well. You're kind of sort of back into this again.
I guess so. I'm excited to be on episode 17. That's my lucky number.
It is. Why?
It's my birthday.
Birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, what we're going to talk about today is the essence of making a good story and why it is so important. And let's just get some of your opinions as to what you think makes up a good story. What does a good story need to have?
It needs to have elements that fit what the client is trying to do. It needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It must have a style. It must have a theme. It must have a purpose. I think that any good project, whether it be video or websites, starts with that initial story. What are we trying to tell people? And if it rambles on and it doesn't make sense or it's too long, we're going to lose the audience.
I think the key word there is purpose. And I think that's the hardest thing to define. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're starting out on a project is to help the client, you know, hone in on what is the purpose of this video. And then to create something that's going to go along mm-hmm. with that purpose.
I think sometimes, too, it's interesting to, when clients get to the point where they want a video or a website, they want to tell every possible thing about their company in this one project, in this one website, and try to edit as much as you can before you get to that point, too. Viewers or listeners or folks visiting websites aren't going to necessarily be interested in every intricate detail, mm-hmm. and you need to figure out what's your differentiator, why are you important, why are you trying to tell this story, and leave out some stuff.
Yeah, and it's understandable from a client's point of view because, you know, obviously money's tight, mm-hmm. and they want to get everything they can for every marketing dollar they spend.
True.
I think that what happens is it's like a list. They'll come to you and want to, you know, put this list of services or list of products and everything into the video. And as a viewer of a video, you're watching a timeline that, you know, is happening as you're viewing it. And everything that's on that list might not interest you as a customer mm-hmm. or something like that. Lists are for websites. I can go down. I can not necessarily delete, but I can go buy products or services that aren't interested to me mm-hmm. and focus in on the ones on a video. You don't have that option really unless you fast forward through it and then you're missing, you know, part of the message. So it's getting away from that. It's like, let's focus on, you know, maybe three things that are mm-hmm. the most important about the project or your company or your organization or whatever and focus on that.
Sort of a mantra in showbiz is leave them wanting more.
Yeah, exactly. They should have questions at the end of the video, not have everything answered.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I think that opens the door then for their sales force, for their personal contact. You do want to leave them wanting more and let them ask questions. And then you start that dialogue with them and they become a customer.
Derek, on top of editing here, you're also sort of an independent filmmaker yourself and you've developed several scripts mm-hmm. throughout your career. What do you look at when you develop a story? What do you always want to include?
Well, you need to know what the story is, and that's kind of going back to John talking about if you muddle at having too many points in there. Like the audience needs to know the whole time what the story is about. And usually the story is going to be, you know, you set up, there's a problem, X amount of things happen, and then you have a resolve. So it's kind of like the same thing. So, you know, if you're trying to sell, you have a business and you're selling, you know, cars out the back and candy and stuff, you know, you get kind of confused when you're going through it. So I think it's really, you know, you need to have a goal to your story, and then the whole story needs to be about how you resolve that goal. And I think that can apply towards advertising.
One of the questions that I always ask too when we start talking with clients and things is, what do you want the viewer to feel? What emotion do you want? Because you really need to connect with viewers on an emotional level to get them to feel, to get them to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, everything you do in there, the tempo of the music and mm-hmm. and the style of editing and the shots that you're using is all part of that. But that I was just going to mention that the emotion that's created is probably the most important thing mm-hmm. of the video itself, because that's what you want people to connect to. You want them to relate to that in a way that says, hey, I'm with you on this, or, you know, or at least invoke something that is going to start a call to action of some mm-hmm. sort, or get them to ask more questions.
You need to show them that, you know, by whatever they're watching, they're going to get some sort of reward out of it, whether it's just from watching the video by itself or knowing that, hey, I can take this next action step and bring the reward to me.
Definitely.
What are some of the pitfalls that a client could face? Oh, let's say they have an event going up and you get a phone call and say, you know, we really got to go shoot this, and then we're going to use it in a video down the road.
Well, Jody, I think you got a good analogy of the of kind of the process of how mm-hmm. that all happens.
The process of planning, it's really, really important to pre-plan things like this. And I understand a client's want to say, okay, let's capture this and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with it down the road. But the problem with that is it ends up costing you more and taking more time, and it mm-hmm. doesn't seem like it should. But the analogy that I always use is, it's like somebody says, I want a cake. So they go out, they go to the bakery, they buy a chocolate cake. Well, then they get back and they talk to their bosses or they talk to the committee that they're on, and all of a sudden, well, it was supposed to be a birthday cake. Well, now you have to go out, buy icing, write happy birthday on the top. Mm-hmm. Then you get back again and somebody says, well, so-and-so has an allergy. We need a gluten-free cake. Well, now you have to throw out the first cake, get a different cake, and then you get back and somebody says, well, can we use it as cupcakes? Well, no. So it's kind of, that's why the pre-planning is just so vital. If you were to sit down with those folks and say, okay, we need a cake. What do we need the cake for? What kind of cake do we need? Do we need to avoid anything as we're buying this cake? Are there going to be other ways that we're going to use this cake? And then go ahead and gather the footage, but have that plan before you get there. Because sometimes what happens is you'll get out in the field and you'll be capturing this footage, but you won't know that you're supposed to get a close-up of
exactly.
a particular wheel or some other element. So then when it gets to the editing process, all of a sudden you don't have the footage that you need, and the client mm-hmm. is asking, well, why didn't we get this? Well, why didn't we get that? And all of a sudden we're back in the field having to reshoot.
Yeah, the photographer has no direction as to what to get, so yeah. he's out there literally for hours, and, you know, mm-hmm. we may only have, you know, 1 minute usable footage when we get to the edit room.
And, yeah. then plus all the tools you have when you're out there shooting, you shoot something in a close-up or a long shot, the emotional feel is so much different. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's really, like, the options are infinite for how you're going to shoot one product. And right. in each way you shoot it, it's going to have a different story that it's going to tell the way that you shoot it. So it's important that you mm-hmm. know what the story right. is before you go out
there. And it's not just the camera angles, too, that, you know, you're
oh, yeah.
literally guessing at mm-hmm. while you're out shooting. It's like, well,
the
I should have really had some more light on this.
Yep.
Or the camera should have moved faster. Or, rats, I wish I had a microphone on this guy so we could hear him better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so many elements of production out yeah. in the field that you got to get right the first time. Otherwise, it costs more to go back
yeah,
and get it.
Or just trying to shoot a sequence of events. If your sequence is off by one shot, now you're stuck with unable to edit anything mm-hmm. together, because now your one sequence has changed or something's different, and you can't necessarily get from mm-hmm. one shot to the next
right.
in a way that's going to look professional or look good.
And that's important. You know, that's a great point, because, you know, any photographer out there has probably edited at some point in his life. So the photographer will shoot with an edit in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he knows, okay, I got this. I need a match cut from this other angle, and then he might think of something mm-hmm. That would even be more helpful that maybe even wasn't included in the script.
You know, it's kind of interesting to watch the technology as it's changed in graphics and video, and I think that there's this misconception out there that somehow video is like Photoshop, where you can go in and, well, cut out that part and don't show that particular section of the part that we're shooting. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that in video, at least not cheaply at all. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult. And so yeah. I think that somehow we've gotten into this groove in society that you can go out, you can get this stuff, and then somehow you can change it when you get back. And that's not true in video.
Yeah, not in all cases. There's, you know, there are some things we can obviously repair and things like that. But, you know, if it's a major element that, you know, there's no way we're going to hide it without obviously look like we're hiding it.
Yeah, and the cost that would go along with it to do mm-hmm. it. In most cases, you're almost better off going out and reshooting.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost cheaper to do it that way, and it'll look better.
And when mm-hmm. I explain to people, it's kind of interesting when they say, well, isn't it like Photoshop? Can't you just blur this or take this out? There are 24 to 30 frames of video in each second. So if you can imagine trying for a 5-minute section, how much time that would take to go in and change every one of those frames is just cost prohibitive.
Yeah, yeah.
My analogy, you know, you had the baking a cake analogy. Mm-hmm. My example of, you know, shooting first and trying to tell a story later are all these dozens of, you know, world's greatest disaster shows that you see on cable. How many times do you see the same clip of a car going into a ball of fire? You know, it was one camera, it rolled once, and they have to, you know, they digitally enhance it, mm-hmm. or they'll put it on the screen 7 times. You know, it's the same piece of video over and over and over again, and once it plays once, the story is done for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Showing it over and over again does nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe one replay is all you need, and then that's it. You know, it's like watching a game or something. And
unless it's a really cool ball of fire.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Another thing that I think, too, getting back to telling the story side of things is you hear a lot about technical skills versus creative skills. And you know, you can learn how to operate a software for an editing program, and you can and learn how to use that program and do all those things. But I still think it takes an editor and a writer to work together on really creating something that's going to have a bigger impact on the viewer. And you know, creative skills are. They're just as important or maybe even more important than the technical skills. I can go read a manual if I need to find out how to do a particular style of editing or just some sort of feature, something that needs to be done in the process. But the creative skills is harder to teach, and mm-hmm. I think it's something you just have to be, just kind of got to know. Any sequence, any, you know, few clips that you're kind of putting together and starting to tell a story is critical, I think, to making something that's going to, you know, really...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many user boards out there, you know, where I've seen the question pop up, you know, how do I learn editing?
Yeah.
How can I become an editor? Well, you know, we can, you know, anyone can teach you the basics of the program. And you can make all kinds of edits, but will they look good? Who knows? You know, you just don't know. It like you said, it's an art form, it's a craft, and it takes time to develop.
No, mm-hmm. definitely.
I always think of editing as a visual storytelling. As a writer, when I write pieces and come up with creative ideas, I kind of try to listen to the client, what they want, and then they use me as a resource to come back and say, okay, consider doing it this way. You could do it that way, pitch a few ideas. But then when it gets to the editing side, it's like instead of words, you guys use pictures to tell stories. And I think it's very valuable and needed that a writer and an editor work together, because there are things that you can do as an editor to tell a story with visuals that I can't tell with words. Mm-hmm. And I think people get hung up on, I've noticed that people who are doing new projects or new writers to television, don't take advantage of those visual ways to tell the story and try to use their words to talk through the story. And that's the beauty of video and TV, is that the pictures can tell the story and you can shut up for part of that.
Yeah. How many commercials have you seen? 30 seconds of absolutely no talking.
Mm-hmm.
And the visuals and, you know, music or sound or whatever, that it does all the work and it does it great.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to creating the feeling. You can do so much to just create that feeling by not saying anything sometimes. And sometimes it's just hanging on a shot a little longer or smoothing the transition between it, depending on the type of feeling that you're trying to invoke. It just, there's just so many different ways you can do it. And I think that that's where I think as editors and writers, we're always striving to, you know, get that right in whatever project we're working on. And it's not something you can teach. It's you can teach, but I think it takes a much longer time, and it's kind of goes along with that experience and having done it for, you know, you start out learning the technical things, but then the creative things, I think, start coming out more and more as the more you do it.
The more I write, the more I try not to write. And it's kind of interesting. I kind of have this internal battle with myself as to how few words I can use in a commercial, because the visuals are so important for making that emotional connection. And the words are secondary to me. If I have to use words, I'll put them in there. But if I can avoid using words, that's a better way to tell a story, if you ask me. It involves the viewer. It draws them in, and it's just not so emotionally draining. If you're just being shouted at for 30 seconds, I don't like that at all.
Another thing, too, that I've kind of been thinking about as far as, you know, the whole, you know, basically we're writing videos for corporations or organizations and things like that. Obviously, it's different than making a movie or even a documentary. But the whole idea that, you know, what we're trying to do is when we're writing a story or writing something for a video is obviously we're selling the viewer something. But we don't necessarily want to make them feel like we're being sold something, because I know I hate it. I don't like to be, you know, as soon as you feel that way, you're tuning things out and you're not paying attention. However, we're also dealing with an audience that has the expectation of being sold something. That, I mean, if they're on the website or they somehow have gotten to watch this video that's is selling a product or a service, they're there with the expectation that you're selling me something. So it's a fine line, I think, that we try to walk, you know, to make sure that we're not cramming it down their throats, but, you know, giving them enough information so they can make an informed decision. Yet they're getting sold something, yet we're not making it seem like
Well, the one thing you brought up there, you know, the fun thing about services or products that these people are selling is it works out perfectly in a story. Because, you know, in the story, you have your character. The character is their target audience they're going for. And the conflict's going to be whatever their product or service solves. So, like, already naturally is a story element. The fact that they have a product or a service, I mean, that's used to solve a problem. So that right there is just, like, a thematic element. Like, you know, in Die Hard, you got terrorists are trying to take over and stuff, and you know, John McClane, he's a product or the service, and he solves it same thing as like toothpaste is getting rid of gingivitis. You know, he got gingivitis, bringing John McClane the Colgate, bam, it's gone. Then you're walking on glass someplace in there, but you know,
I smell Die Hard. Where are we up to?
Five, I think.
We need to get in the double digit soon.
I don't know how you're gonna work gingivitis into that script, but if you can, that's pretty good.
John McClane becomes a dentist. There you go. Leaves the law enforcement field to...
Yippee-yay. Yippee-yay, Colgate. Yeah. I had a point in there, but it was there.
And I think that actually kind of leads into viral videos. And, you know, that's a real buzzword, and a lot of people are talking about that. But a viral video is even more so a story. It's a little vignette. It's mm-hmm. a scene of something, somebody doing something that you know leads them to. At the end, you find out, oh, this is actually a commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's done in a way that is more like a little movie or a little something that it
still makes people want to watch, want to share,
yeah,
and want the next episode.
And it also has to have that emotional element. I think if you can make somebody laugh.
Yes.
And then they forward it on to their friends. So you have to make them feel something. It can't just be a video to be a video mm-hmm. and expect it to get passed around the web. It's
right.
got to be something that people are going to say, that is so funny, I have to send it to my friends. Or this yeah. is so interesting, I have to send it to my friends. It's got to evoke some emotion.
Yeah, and usually just stats and figures being thrown at you doesn't really,
no.
unless you're a calculator, maybe, then, you know, you're really jazzed about it.
Yeah. Numbers, great.
Well, I don't know how many calculators we have listening to this show, but I'll check the stat board when I get the chance. Well, folks, our time is up today. Jody, John, Derek, thank you very much for joining us today. If you have any questions for us here at the podcast, you can email them to thepodcast@sundog.net. Audio comments are always welcome. You can also leave us a phone message at 1-888-9-SUNDOG. That's 888-978-6364. For Jody, John, and Derek, this is Lon Keller thanking you for joining us for another episode of Sundog, the podcast.
I wanted to say it so fast.
You know what? I should just, after you do your yippee-ki-yay, I'm just going to add it in a beep.
A beep, yeah. Just add a beep in there.
Yippee-ki-yay, mouth disease.
That would have been it. Yippee-ki-yay, beep, gingivitis.